The word immutability carries the meaning of a person, place, or thing that is unchangeable and changeless. Psalms 119 and verse 89, it teaches, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled, fixed in heaven." God's word is perfect. God's word is thorough and complete. God's word needs no help from man whatsoever. God's word will stand forever. In the book of Matthew, the chapters 5 and the verses 18, it teaches concerning heaven. Sometimes we look into the heavens and we look up and we see the stars and we see the clouds and this type of thing, and we say, "Oh, the heavens are beautiful." But I'm here to tell you that those heavens, our atmosphere, our stratosphere, all our solar system of Earth will pass away. But God's word will stand forever. We must put our confidence and hope in God's word. We cannot put our confidence and hope in man or money. For both man and money change in value and in availability. Our God Jehovah is everywhere at the same time. Man may ask, "How are you today?" And when you stop to share your woes, man don't have the time to listen or to care. Our God Jehovah will listen. He will hear us if we continue not in our sins. God commands us to bring our burdens to Him. Paul was inspired of God to write as a command, "Pray without ceasing." Always pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. James 5 and verse 8 through 16 teaches that God is full of pity and tender mercy. While we men are pitiful, we desire and we deserve pity. And God provides that pity upon us day after day. Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Hebrews. You have it there on your bulletin. Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 9. It reads, "Let your conversation, let your way of life be without covetousness or greed. And be content with such things as you have. For he," God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that we may boldly say, or we may say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Remember those which have rule over you. Remember those which have the oversight over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith, whose obedient faith, faith which is seen by their works, follow, considering the end of their conversation, a way of life, its eternal life. Listen, friends, to the immutability of God recorded in verse 8. Of that same chapter, it reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with divers with various strange and changing doctrines, but it is a good thing that the heart be fixed, that the heart be established or firm with grace. The unearned favor of God, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Our confidence is not to be focused upon the consumption of meat sacrificed to idols, not on the pleasing of our bodily desires, all of which decays over time. But we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. What does that mean, Matthew 6:33? It means that the things necessary for life, God will provide them for us. Someone may have thought it meant that we would get great riches, materialistic riches in this type of thing. But no, that's not what it means. Church leaders are not to be self-seekers of fame or consumed in making a name for themselves, but following the example of Christ, 1 Peter 2:21, living by the unchanging word of God, the immutability of the word of God. Church leaders teach by living lives obedient to the unchanging God and the unchanging word of God. God's love and concern for the welfare of others is unchanging. Sometimes we stray away from God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't do the will of God. He still loves us. What can separate us from his love? Nothing can separate us from his love. We must have the knowledge that love seen teaches the more than love spoken of only. Church leaders do not do all things with, or to do all things with joy, while exhorting and esteeming the name of the Lord. Having the knowledge that the church follows the example of the leadership. Amen? Considering the outcome of their faith, which is eternal life with God. And a world without end. Can you just imagine that? We're living in a world today that is decaying all the time. Each and every day of our life, the world is decaying. I learned in school some time ago that radioactive products are made available to us because of certain elements that are decaying all the time. Ephesians 3:21 teaches us how we are to live stable lives to God's glory. Listen to the inspired writer in verse 21 of Ephesians 3. Unto him, unto God be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This means, well said. This means I agree. Sometimes we say amen out of habit and tradition. You know, understand what I'm saying? But when we say amen, we should know that we are agreeing to what's been said. 1 Peter 1:1-4. The elder, overseer, shepherd, which are among you I exhort, whom I am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. This stresses the local autonomy of the church. Elders are to take care of the congregation that is in their home congregation. Maybe someone asks the elders, say, what about this or what about that from another congregation? You're free to give your opinion. You're free to give your knowledge of the Bible to them. But you have no autonomy there if you're an elder. Elders are to go by the principles and regulation governing conduct. That is the immutability of the word of God. Not by constraint, not by repression or necessity, but willingly. Not for money, filthy lucre, or the love of money, but of a ready mind. a mind made complete or perfect through the passive study and active living of God's Word. An elder is neither to lord over God's church, or be authoritative or powerful over God's heritage, over the church. The church belongs to God, the scriptures teaches us. But by being an example of the flock that they're overseers of, elders must live the immutable word of God. Someone says, well, he's picking on the elders tonight. No, it was just there in the scriptures. I thought I'd share it. Elders must be apt to teach. Teaching God's word to all people. And another thing is that the immutable word of God must be seen in the elders. The immutable ways. Not a changing eldership all the time, this way today and that way tomorrow. But the word within the elders must be stable just as well as the word of God is stable. And then when the chief elder returns, that's Jesus, then the elders will receive a crown of glory. And in the book of 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, it teaches, and when the chief shepherd, I'll read that for you, that Jesus shall come or shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory, a crown of life, a crown of adoring praise and worship that fadeth not away. The changeless, unchanging word of God that remains the same. Let us have hope and confidence in that. Friends, I have four short points to make, and the lesson will be yours. Point number one. Obedient believers must keep in mind that Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God made flesh, John 1 and verse number 14. That Christ dwell among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We must be mindful that Christ came to earth with purpose, promise, and stability. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 teaches, the Lord is not slack, not negligent concerning his promises, as some men count or reckon, or take into their account slackness, but is long-suffering to upward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm so glad that God has this type of thought, not willing that any should perish. Someone has said that so many that's just going to go to hell. But that's not true. Am I right about it? It just said it there in the book. It says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Point number two. Obedient believers must keep in mind that Christ is God. Matthew 1:23, God with us. Through the Holy Spirit, God is in us. God is all around us. God is watching over us. God is blessing us each and every day. God knows what we need. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 14, it teaches that Christ is the Word of God, and therefore never changes. God's word is perfect, I've already told you, thorough and complete. Listen to Micah 3 and verse 6, where God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God remains merciful, desiring sinners to come to him and those fallen away to repent. And verse 3 in chapter 3 and verse 7, the next verse there. It's not up there, is it, Brother Willie? Oh, okay. I'm moving too fast, perhaps. The Word of God teaches concerning God's unchanging love and desire for evil men to repent. What a love we have there. Sometimes people do us wrong. And instead of us hoping they'll repent, we're hoping that something bad happens to them. Sometimes that happens, doesn't it? I'm so tired I'm of that person mistreating me. I wish this would happen to them and that would happen to them. But that's not the way. God is long-suffering, wishing that they would repent. Sometimes God will allow things to come upon all of us that will bring us back to himself. On Wednesday night, we're studying about suffering and this type thing. A lot of sufferings we bring on ourselves, but a lot of suffering God allows to come on us, and it would build us up spiritually. A lot of times suffering comes upon us, and it brings us back to God. Even today, there comes a time when we all must seek to hold to God's unchanging hand. Things common to man, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, drives us to return to God. What type of things are you talking about, Brother Stone? I'm talking about loss of jobs. I'm talking about loss of health. Death. Even weather events cause us to come back to God. The immutability, point number three. The immutability of God means his system of redemption is unchanging. The gospel is not a fallacy, beginning with once upon a time and ending in they lived happily ever after. The gospel is the whole record of God's will. A thorough prophecy. It begins with the conception of Christ, his birth, his faithful life, which expressed God's will, his death, which purchased the church. Christ's burial and resurrection, his baptism, his obedience to God, his resurrection symbolizing victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Christ's post-resurrection teachings and assertions, all the Bible is the what? It's a gospel truth. Somebody said, well, I'm about to tell you something, and it's the gospel truth. It may not be the gospel truth. If it's coming from man, it just may not be the gospel truth. But if it's coming from God's word, it is. Someone has said, we cannot obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This is what we teach, is the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection is being the gospel. But all the Bible is the gospel. We can obey God's immutable word expressed by Christ to his disciples, who recorded it without change and then passed it along for our salvation to us. Obedient believers must realize that all our hope lies in the unchanging nature of God. Generically speaking, man has a tendency to change or to have a change of mind. This depended upon the way man may feel at a particular time. It was due to the changing nature and desires of man that Christ had to come to earth and to die for our sin. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 5 teaches, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. What does that word again mean? That we once was Christ. We were once living according to his will. But sin came upon the scene and we strayed away from him. We were separated. Am I right about it? But now he has purchased us again. He's gotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse number 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. This inheritance is reserved in heaven for us, which are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. There is a notable distinction between the physical inheritance of Israel and the spiritual inheritance of spiritual Israel. That's us. Spiritual Israel is the church of Christ. Physical Israel, their inheritance, the promised land of Canaan, had been corrupted by foreign armies that possessed the land and took its inheritance as slaves. Evil king arose from within, even within its own nation, who suppressed the people and devoured the land. Spiritual Israel, faithful members of the Lord, church has an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, unchanging, reserved in heaven for all that obey unto death. The immutable word of God, God's word is not like man's word. Get this down. Even the Constitution of the United States has to be amended from time to time to correct imperfections and to cover subject matter that may have been left out. God's word is thorough and complete, needing no amendments. God commanded all of us, don't add to or take away from my word. God defies man to alter his word. Those who would do so was given a stern warning of damnation in Revelation 22 and verse 19, which teaches. And if any man, I got a little excited. And if any man shall take away from the word of God, of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Obedient believers must take notes, encouragement from Revelation 22 and verse 13 through 15, where it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They that have right, they will have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever that loveth to make a lie. And I might go so far as to say sometimes this type of thing is even in the church. People are even in the church that have this type of character. But we're not to worry about that, because God has promised that even in the church that he would send back his angels to clean the church up before it's presented to God. The church will be clean. There are those today who do God's will according to his unchanging or immutable word. All others cannot enter the kingdom of heaven and are doomed to eternal destruction and that lake of fire that we mentioned already. Here we're talking about Revelation 20 and verse 10. God invites us to become a part of his son's body, the church, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 20 and 28, a fireproof institution. Did you hear that? This world will be destroyed by fire. But if we don't want to be a part of the fire, then we're going to need to be in the church that his son purchased with his own blood. Part of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 18 through 20 teaches us that Christ is the head of the church. The question tonight is, will you come to Jesus? Do you desire to be a part of the body of Christ? Do you desire to have hope of eternal life promised to his faithful family? Sometimes we sing the song, God's Family. That's what I want to be a part of and want to stay a part of. We're baptized into the family of Christ. When we come confessing him, Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, the end results of the ceremonial part of that God's plan is baptism and living a faithful life unto death. But what is God's plan of salvation? God's plan is for us to hear and believe the gospel. We've heard the gospel and we've heard it over and over again. Sometimes we believe it, but we don't move because we don't want to repent. We don't want to change from our past ways. But the Bible teaches me and teaches you in Luke 13 and verse 3 that we are to repent or perish. Then we must confess that Christ is the Son of God. If we don't confess that Christ is the Son of God, he won't confess us before the Father in heaven. But if we confess him, he will confess us before the Father. Then we are to be baptized, immersed in water. This for remission of sin, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. We are to be baptized into Christ. And then come up from the watery grave of baptism to live faithful lives in Christ Jesus unto death. Even though we will see much persecution, even though we will see much people talk about us, say ugly things about us, mistreat us, we must be faithful even unto death. We're going to ask you to stand at the conclusion of our song of invitation. We would like to you to respond in the way that you see a need of. Perhaps you are in the body of Christ and you haven't been living according to God's will. Perhaps you need the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous that you might be able to overcome. We want you to let your desire be known at the end of the song, if you feel like standing.
Discouraged, thinking all is lost, counting many blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God